So you know what I think would go pretty well right about now? A Good Friday Deca. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. All right, feel much better already. In fact, felt pretty damn good just to sit down and get started. Lots of good show for you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocky can. Good topics. Lots of things, including last night's action in the NBA. Could not have gone any worse for Philadelphia. What a bleep show with Philadelphia and the Sixers. So I want to get into that momentarily. Here's what you want to do. You want to jump in early. Early and often. Telephone Maria is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. We are front loading. I've got two interviews in the first half of the program. I've got the big head, James Kelly, coming up in hour number three. Friday is a good day to take your shot. If you want to get into the smack off, you should call right now. Once again, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. What's the smack off thing I keep referencing? Quickly, the most important day of the year on this program, the best of the best annual event, June 24th, smack off number 28. You win, you get $5,000. You come in second place, you get nothing. You come in third, you get even less. And if third is less than second and second is nothing, 4 through 10 means you are nothing at all. But you won't know unless you try. So get it going. 1-800-636-8686. In terms of the interviews, I've got Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler, 940. 1020, Mike North, the VP of broadcast planning for the NFL. The schedule release is out. We will get his thoughts. James Kelly and I are going to chop it up at the top of hour number three. Got to find a way to make some money. Have to find a way to make some money. Big head. We're talking NBA. We are talking NFL with the schedule dropping. And maybe even some NHL too. All of that between now and the top of hour number three. In that third hour, I've got the week that was. I've got an ATP and a whole lot more. Hey, get on the phone. What are you waiting on? 1-800-636-8686. Or hit me up on Twitter. It's not going to get you in the smack off, but it might get you on the air. At Jim Rome, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. All right, let me start with the association. Let's start with the Heat and the Sixers, because the Heat straight up murdered the Sixers last night. You know, and with any murder investigation, you need a couple of things, right? You need a body or bodies, and you need a murder weapon. So this case was actually very easy to solve. The Sixers, to a man, were all lying dead on the floor in an ocean of blood. It's not like it was hard to find the bodies. They didn't hide the body. They were all right there in plain view. The killer did not get very far. Jimmy Butler was the killer. Not only was he the killer, he was at the scene holding the murder weapon, a bloody knife. This was not a hard case to crack, because my man Buckets went on a freaking killing spree last night. And given the volume and nature of the stab wounds, this one was personal. You ever watch those true crime shows? Whenever somebody's been stabbed like 50 times, there's always somebody to say, yeah, this was definitely personal. They knew each other. Yeah, well, that's what that was. You think? You think it was personal? You think stabbing somebody 50 times would suggest that it's personal? Yeah, well, I'm sure it was very personal to Buckets. And by the way, nobody got carved worse or bled out more quickly than the Beard himself, James Larden. Now, I know that I should be above resorting to Lardening this cat. It's also circa 1996 for me. But the fact is, this dude was supposed to come to Philly and be the missing link. Instead, he was just missing. Just like he always is when it matters most. The dude gave them as much in the second half of last night's elimination game as Ben Simmons gave Philadelphia while he was there. Hell, Larden gave them as much in the second half last night as I did when I was there. And I was never there. And neither was Lords. Not last night, not the second half. But then again, isn't this what always happens to Larden in the postseason? And isn't this what always happens to Jimmy Butler in the postseason? Larden goes AWOL and buckets turns into a cold-blooded murderer. Harden turns into a big, fat, bloated, washed pumpkin. And Buckets turns into an assassin and a superstar. Seriously, think about this for a minute. Could the juxtaposition of these two make Harden look any worse? Let me blow your minds with a very simple piece of information. Buckets and the Beard are almost exactly the same age. They were born like 3 weeks apart. I mean, I know it's incredible, because when you look at Harden, what do you see? A chunky old man who's aging right out in front of our eyes every time he hits the floor. But what do you see when you look at Buckets? He looks like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
And this dude's out there hooping like a superstar when the lights are brightest. Like, the bigger the stage, the better he plays. The better he leads, the more he imposes his will, the more he makes everybody around him better and embarrasses every chump standing in front of him. Especially those chumps in Philly, because they were the ones who let him go. Because right now, they're everything that he's not. They're everything that he's not, but they need. They're soft, they're mentally weak, and they're at home right now for a reason. He's everything, Butler, that the Sixers aren't. He's everything they need, and they had this guy, and they let him get away. And now they're going home, and he's headed to the next round, leading the Heat once again. And there's nothing even remotely surprising about any of it, because Butler is a bleeping warrior. He's all about that life. Harden is all about the opposite of that life. And let me just stop here for a minute. I'm not putting it all on Harden. Although I am putting a chunk of it on Harden, I'm just saying the juxtaposition of these two guys is absolutely amazing to me. Like, Butler is the guy who's getting up at 3 a.m. to get his work in. Harden is just getting in at 3 a.m. after hitting the club. Now, did I see that? No, not actually. But I can see it every single time I see the two of these guys take the floor now. Case in point, second half, game six, last night. Buckets throws in 23. Harden gets shut the hell out. Butler goes legend. Harden gets bageled. Big Face imposed his will. Big Waist got curb stomped. Yeah, but at least it was a fair trade. The whole Simmons for Harden thing. At least it was a fair trade. Nothing for nothing. I mean, hell, I gave the Sixers as much as Harden gave them in the second half last night. And while Harden was sulking and making excuses after the game, Buckets was spiking the ball. The guy went alpha for 48, and then he kept rolling it right into the postgame. Did you see him roll through the tunnels at Wells Fargo screaming this over and over and over again?
Tobias Harris over me?
Tobias Harris over me. Tobias Harris over bleeping
Tobias
me.
Harris over me.
I gotta tell you, and this is coming from somebody who likes Tobias Harris, I couldn't love that any more than I do, though. Because that is the best part of the whole thing, right? The Sixers had this guy, a.k.a. exactly the type of player they needed, exactly the type of toughness they needed, exactly the energy they needed. They had this guy. Jimmy Butler is everything the Sixers are looking for, and they had him in their own locker room, and they let him get away. And to quote Butler himself, Tobias Harris over me?
Tobias Harris over me?
Again, I've always liked Tobias a lot, but he's not Jimmy Butler because nobody is. And at this point, it's pretty clear to every single person in Philly how enormous of a disaster it was to let Butler go. But don't take my word for it. Take Joel's instead.
I won't sit here and say I didn't wish he was my teammate. Still don't know how we let him go, but I wish I could have gone to battle with him still, but it is what it is. I just got to keep building and, keep trying to reach that goal.
I mean, how insane is that? I wish I could have gone to battle with that dude who just abused us. I wish I could have gone to battle with that dude on that other team. I wish I could have gone to battle with that guy who sent us home. Because the clowns that I do have to go to battle with pretty much suck. Like, I really could have used a little bit of help in this series. Too bad I had to run with James Lardon and not Jimmy Buckets. Because Lardon is about as useless as a pile of crap right now, and my boy Buckets is a certified stud who somehow, someway is still getting better. Anybody who was actually expecting to see an actually effective James Harden in this series has not been paying attention, because Lardon is not that dude anymore. Again, you don't have to take my word for it either.
Obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, yeah, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive.
I mean, damn, Joel going straight Tro-El on Lardon. But he's not spitting anything but the damn truth. Everyone may have wanted to see Houston Harden in Philly, but that guy's dead, and he's not coming back, ever. He keeled over on a toilet with a cheeseburger in his hand. The Philly version of Lardon is washed. I mean, seriously, how is it even possible that this guy is this washed this soon? I mean, I know that when it goes quickly. But not this quickly. Not at age 32. How is it possible for Harden to only take 9 shots, only post 11 points, and throw up a minus 16 with the season and his reputation on the line? So again, I know I've been pretty emphatic about this, but the juxtaposition between these two guys is mind-blowing to me. They're the same age. The Sixers had Butler. They had him. But this is what happened when you have the right mindset versus a garbage mindset. This is what happens when you make the game your life instead of choosing the life over the game. You want the most obvious example of ball don't lie in the history of the world. Just look at Butler v. Lardon. Ball don't lie. Sort of hard to, quote, trust the process when the process involves bringing in washed and fat. Joel has done everything he could to improve himself and make himself into the MVP candidate that he is right now, but this dude cannot do it by himself.
Trust the process?
Of course he's looking at Miami and wants what they have. Extreme toughness, mentally and physically, a commitment, discipline, and a kick-ass culture. That's what everybody wants who wants to win. The Heat have it, the Sixers don't. Like, Philly's Game 7 meltdown against the Hawks last year was like the biggest disaster ever for the Sixers. It broke Ben Simmons, it ruined the entire process, but last night might have been even worse, because now Philly is stuck. They're stuck with a choking coach who can't stop patting himself on the back after losses, and a fat, fading Tubbo who's expected to get paid. And a legitimate MVP candidate who'd rather be playing with Jimmy Butler. And who the hell can blame him, right? Because the Sixers are a giant, active, flaming dumpster. And never forget, it was the big face himself who lit that match and dumped gasoline all over these slugs. What a disaster. Hey, but Philly fan, the hell do I know? The hell do I know? I'm just a guy in Southern California with a camera and a mic on my face. You tell me, Philly fan, how did that feel to you? I'm guessing not good at all.
What a hell of a coaching job.
Don't blame that on Friday the 13th. Lots of blame to go around. Lots of blame to go around. 1-800-636-8686. And of course, Buckets came off the floor saying, they picked Tobias Harris over me?
Tobias Harris over me?
Incredible. Incredible. Like I said, he's about that life. And James Harden is about the other life. And that's why they're the same age and they couldn't look more different. 1-800-636-8686. More from the association. Oh, looky here. Chris Paul may be on the verge of another meltdown. Now they have to deal with a game 7. You imagine Chris Paul being in the record books for being the guy to blow 5 five 2-0 leads. I mean, they'll probably find a way to get it done. Even this guy can't do it a fifth time. But can you imagine if they blow a game seven at home and that makes five for him? Not one, not two, not three, not four, five? Even Doc is impressed with CP3's inability to finish. We'll get into that too. Once again, your telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. I've got an update on the Miami Dolphins social media and that tweet that went viral. The cheetah has got Tua's back, as you might imagine. As you might imagine. I've got an update on that story also. We've got big head bets coming up at 11 o'clock. We are looking at tonight's NBA action. We've got some over-unders for the NFL. We've got some NHL. So if you want to get down, you want to get paid, one good way to do it is to check us out top of hour number three. And some reaction. Let's see here. Stucknut. Do I trust Stucknut to set the tone? Let's find out. Tobias in Houston under me? Signed, Larry Brown.
Tobias Harris over me?
Yeah, that's not what he said, Nut. He said, Tobias Harris over me?
Tobias Harris over me?
He did not say, Tobias in Houston under me.
Tobias Harris over me?
And I don't think Toby goes by Tobias, Nut. Shohei Ohtani. Nobody won the James Frauden trade. Did you forget about us? Signed, the Philadelphia Strip Clubs. V in the fee. Wore Jimmy Buckets getting the respect he deserves. Anybody who knows anything about the game loves and respects Jimmy Buckets. Tracy McGrady came on my podcast this week. He said that Jimmy Butler is his favorite player to watch in the NBA right now. Because of all those things I just referenced, all the intangible things. Dwayne McGrady, Alvin, if you can kind of search that out really quickly. Dwayne McGrady said it was, look, you look at this guy, he's not the best athlete on the floor. He's not the fastest guy on the floor. He just grinds like nobody else.
Jimmy Butler is my favorite player to watch because, number one, his story is incredible. Right. I mean, incredible story where he come from. Grew up outside of Houston where I live. So I know all about his story. But two, Jimmy Butler is not the most athletic player. He's not the fastest player, but he's a guy that you look at and look at where he came from in the beginning of his career and where he is today, how he's worked his ass off to put himself in that position. I mean, he's relentless. He's a dog. Whether it's on offense or defense, he don't back down from anybody. He takes on all challenges, and the guy just wins. Wherever he goes, he instills a toughness in that team. Minnesota, he did the same thing. He comes to Miami. They have a certain culture in Miami, but damn, Jimmy Butler adds to that. And to see what he's doing right now with those guys, I love watching him play, man, because it's winning basketball when you watch Jimmy Butler.
That's Tracy McGrady on the Jim Rome podcast, and he could not have described that any more perfectly than he just did. Again, Butler is everything that Harden and the Sixers are not, and they had the guy. They had the guy. Ted in Albany writes, Larden reminds me a lot of Ritt. They both look worse every time they're on TV. They both are extremely overpaid, and they both have diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah, I don't know that you can confirm that stuff, Ted. I mean, let's break that down. They both look worse every time they're on TV. All right, that's fair. They're both extremely overpaid. All right, that's fair. They both have diabetes. I don't know if that's fair.
Diabetes.
I don't know if that's true. The first two parts of that are true. They both do look worse every time they're on TV. No offense, old man. And they are both extremely overpaid. You might want to give some of that back, old man. As far as diabetes, I can't speak to that. I mean, that might be true. That might be true, especially in the case of Ritt. But I don't know for certain. All right, so when we come back, I've got Malcolm Butler coming up later on this hour. Mike North is the VP of broadcast planning for the NFL. We will get into the schedule release. and the big head, James Kelly, top of hour number three. This much you should know by now. Athletic Greens, big part of the program, big part of my morning routine. With one delicious scoop of AG1 by Athletic Greens, you're able to consume 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. This is why I use it every single morning, and I have for several months now. Another reason? I no longer have the afternoon energy slump that I used to have, where I'd bump up against the wall. Not anymore. Also, I love the way it tastes. I just mix in the AG1 with cold water in my shaker bottle first thing in the morning when I get here, and it's all part of my daily routine. And I no longer have to smash a handful of different vitamin pills. Plus, AG1 costs less than $3 a day. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar. There are no GMOs. There are no nasty chemicals. And it is approved by so many pro athletes and trusted health experts that I've had on this show, that I've had on my podcast. People that I believe in AG1. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first subscription purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/Rome. Once again, athleticgreens.com/Rome. Try AG1 today. So, you know, whenever I talk about Philadelphia fan, or Philly fan for short, what I'm really saying is, Philly fan, get up in here. So I can hear from you. I want to hear from you directly. I want to hear it from the source directly. Because, again, I'm very transparent about this. I mean, who am I? I'm a California native working in Southern California. I'm not there. So who am I to say how it is? I'm just giving you my take, my opinion. But what I really want to know is from the people who are actually there in the middle of it and living it. Philly fan, hit me up. The weather is getting warmer. It's getting lighter later. You know what that means, right? Time to take those cigars and drinks outside. In fact, I did so myself last weekend. It was awesome. Time to soak up that feeling of flavor of cigar season. And when you're getting ready for cigar season, get the best premium cigars at the lowest prices at Famous Smoke Shop. It's a stress-free cigar shopping experience at Famous Smoke because every single cigar is guaranteed fresh. And Famous Smoke Shop was recently named the best place to buy cigars online by Cool Material and Cigar World. With an enormous selection of over 1,000 brands, you will find amazing deals on everyday cigars and highly rated classics, including Romeo, Monte Cristo, Acid, Olivia Infuente. And here's your chance to save $10 off your purchase of $50 or more when you go to famous-smoke.com. Famous-smoke.com. Use the code ROME10. I did. Use the code ROME10 and save $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. If you want your favorite cigars delivered fast and guaranteed fresh, it's got to be from famous-smoke.com, famous-smoke.com. And remember, use the promo code ROME and the number 10. And remember this, Famous Smoke Shop is our title sponsor for the Smack Off. They are sponsoring the event. They are putting up the $5,000. They're as big a reason as any for what's going to go down on June 24th. Hit me up with that. Rome, can you tell Doc to stop opening his pie hole? With that shovel, he keeps digging deeper and deeper into the whiny bitch hole. He should be defensive because he's a horrible coach. Doc, note to self, when you put a group of one-offs together, it's not a one-off anymore. It's epic fails with multiple teams. If you didn't have that one ring with Boston, what would your resume look like? Genie, Rob Lowe, Le GM, and the Rambi are looking forward to having you. BW and SB. I will tell you, Doc is pushing back hard. Doc is getting more and more sensitive, more and more defensive. I'm not even sure that he wants to be in Philadelphia at this point. But what I am sure of is that Doc is getting sick and tired of hearing that he's an underachieving, choking coach. Because I've never seen this guy go so far out of his way to remind everybody that not only is he not that, but that he's actually doing an amazing job and always has.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job. And if you don't, then you should write it. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. happen again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
The results-based business. And that's
it is, but you don't do it every year. Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No. So it's the same thing, all right? But listen, if you believe that, then go with it. I know what I did this year, and I feel very good about that. But again, if you believe that, Howard, then you just run with it.
I know that voice. I know that sound. I know that tone. I've seen it before. I've heard it before. That is the tone and the vibe and the energy and the sound of a coach and or a player that Philly is getting to. That Philly media and Philly fan is getting to. Getting under their skin, getting into their head. You can tell Doc's had enough.
Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No.
You know, when you start going to the media, especially that media, you know, Philly media is not like LA media. Philly media is not like, well, any other media. And when you start pushing back and saying, hey, yo, and you turn that thing on its head and you flip the table and you say things like, do you lose your job every time you're wrong? If that's the way you feel, go ahead and write it. First of all, they're going to go ahead and write it anyway. And for Doc to react and lash out like that, he knows he's on thin ice. But I think what he's more concerned about, this is just me speaking, more concerning to him, I think, than losing that job is the reputation and the fact that it's taking a battering and a beating. And I'm not saying it's all his fault, but I'm not saying that none of it's his fault. And again, they did not get out of the second round. It's a good thing he's got that ring. But that sounds like a guy who's had about enough. They all, and Joel said this, they all need to look in the mirror because they got beat not only by a team, but by an organization, by a culture. Miami is everything that the Sixers are not. Mentally tough, physically tough, emotionally tough, professional. They've got grit. They've got grind. They put in the time. They're everything that the Sixers aspire to be. And you saw it. And that's part of why Doc showed up like that. So where does that leave him? Is he on the way out? Hey, Rome, I have not witnessed a lead ball drop like Gaines Lardon in just 2 years since Sean Kemp. I guess it's time to look in the mirror, shave the beard, and get back to work, or this is going to be our last memories of a great player. Tom in Y-Town. Yeah, essentially, it is. That guy's not going back. You are never going to see Houston Harden ever again. He's just not that guy. And once it's gone, you can't get it back. You can't run a razor over it and then all of a sudden show up and be that guy again. Like I said, you make a choice between which life you want. Jimmy Butler long ago chose the life of a gladiator, of a warrior, of a grinder, of a leader, of a guy who sets the tone and the culture. He's not for everybody, but he is for you if you want to win. This guy makes everybody around him better with his professionalism and his grind and his intensity. Harden's not doing that. He's not making himself better, and he's not making anybody around him better because he's not about that life. All right, when we come back, phone lines are open. Philly, I want to hear from you, Philly fan. How bad was that? I mean, they get right back in that series, and then the last two games, nothing. Jack squat. I did as much to help them win in the second half last night. And
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question, and I will answer it later on. You know this. We do it every single Friday. As promised, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the Patriots, a two-time Super Bowl champ. He is an All-Pro a Pro Bowler, a member of the Patriots All-Decade Team. He was undrafted way back in 2014 out of West Alabama. You've got New England opening up at Miami September 11th. It is a CBS game. Malcolm Butler is my guest. Malcolm, it is the proverbial. It's been a moment or two since you and I last spoke. So, how you doing and how are things now that you're back in New England?
I'm doing well, man. I'm back in my old stepping grounds and, you know, just got my head down, working hard, man. It's good to be back in the NFL, running around with the young guys, man. I'm enjoying it. I'm in a good state of mind.
Malcolm Butler joining us. All right, so you're back in your old stomping grounds. Let me ask you this. When the opportunity first came up to rejoin the Patriots, what was your immediate reaction? For instance, were you surprised at all, or did this feel like a normal and perfect homecoming?
I didn't know what was coming, but I knew I was going to get back into the NFL, but I didn't know it was going to come this way. And, I mean, that's why you never, you know, you handle business like a man. You know, you never bash nobody. You never do this. You never do that. You're going to talk business, keep it between each other. And basically never burn your bridge down, man. You probably always go back. So, yeah, that's that, man.
See, by the way, I think that's a really important life lesson, not just an NFL lesson, but, man, don't burn bridges. Do not burn bridges because you never know whether or not an opportunity might be there. So part of the process was a conversation with Bill Belichick. What was that conversation like, and how would you describe the relationship the two of you have?
I think we got a great relationship, and I know that we both about business, and I was talking to him on the phone. He asked me, did I want to come back? And, you know, we was talking business, and he was like, hey, just we're not going to sit here.
You know, like, we don't know. None of us know. People on the outside looking in don't know. So a lot of people have this perception of Belichick and what he's like and what he's all about. How would you describe him as a coach and a leader?
Man, that's one of the best coaches I ever, you know, played for. Not that I didn't play for other great coaches, but, man, the man just knows the game, man. He know how to, he's going to work you hard, he's going to prepare you. He's just different, man. He's an excellent coach, man. He don't say much, but when he say something, man, you're going to listen up. Not too much he says that it's not right, so... Yeah, man, great coach. He was a great coach. He got six rings for a reason.
Malcolm Butler joining us. You know, you mentioned briefly you were away from the league. So when you were planning to be with the Cardinals last season, it was there and then you stepped away to deal with some things away from the game. As you said, Malcolm, quote, Bill Belichick always says, do what's best for the team. At that time, I think I did what's best for me and my family. If you're not prepared mentally, you can do nothing physically. So I think I made the right decision by doing that. End of quote. Can you kind of share your thoughts on that? Like, what was that decision-making process like for you last year?
Well, I was going through a lot of things, and like you say, put the team first, and, you know, I went in a good mode to, you know, help the team. You know, I was there physically, but I went there mentally. So I think I made a great decision, you know, to step back for a while, get your going on.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you dropped off for 1 second. So, like you were saying, like mentally, you were not in the best spot. So, what was going on? What were you dealing with?
Just a couple family issues, off the field situations. And, you know, that's just that right there. But I think I made the right decision. You know, I think that break gave me a little more juice this year. Big reset. You know, I appreciate the game more when I was at home watching it. And I couldn't even watch it like that because I'm like, damn, I'm supposed to be out there. But I think I made a great decision, you know, taking care of my mindset and getting things back in order.
Malcolm Butler is joining us. I really respect that response. I mean, that's key, right? I mean, you had to take care of your business. You had to take care of yourself. You had to take care of your mind. You had to hit that reset button, and you made the right decision. But to your point, like, what was it like being away from the game, and what was it like not playing on Sundays? Did you miss that?
Yeah, 100%. I was bored, man. I'm talking about bored. It's just different. You've been playing the game since, you know, you was in college and high school, and then all of a sudden you're just doing nothing and, you know, picking up leaves in the yard and cutting the grass. I'm like, man, what am I doing? But, you know, I made that decision to, you know, step back for a while, which it really paid off a little bit. And yeah, it was kind of tough to watch those games, man.
We're talking to Malcolm Butler. You know, I'm fascinated by mindset and the mindset you're sharing with us. Like, for instance, how do you approach coming back now to a team and a culture that you know really well, that you had a lot of success within? Is your attitude that, hey, listen, I've got history, I don't really have these expectations? Or do you go in there thinking, I got to prove myself to everybody all over again?
Yes, that's the mindset I have. That's the mindset I have. Go in there, work hard. My strength coach actually told me that, man. You gotta start over. You gotta start from scratch. And I think that was good. You know, it motivated me even more. Just like you said, but I'm a grown man. I know I gotta go in there and handle my business. This is a business, but it's also a game that I love. So I don't mind proving myself up.
We're talking to Malcolm Butler. I'm curious, now, like, there have been a lot of changes to the Patriots roster since you left. When you come back now, do you feel like the Patriot way is still pretty much the same as it always was? Or has that changed and evolved a little bit, the Patriot way?
No, I think it's still the same. Just missing a few players, it kind of feels weird to me when, you know, I'm in the locker room and it's totally different. It's on, like, five guys that stared at when I was there, so... But I still think it's the Patriot way. Come in there, work hard, do your job, go home, and come back there the next day.
We're talking to Malcolm Butler. You know what? Last fall, Belichick said this of you, quote, "Malcolm's a great story." I mean, you talk about a kid that's undrafted, really couldn't even get into a training camp, and then we brought him up here for rookie minicamp for a tryout. He wasn't even signed when we brought him up here. End of quote. Like, Malcolm, it's so unusual. The guys that go to small college programs and don't get drafted typically do not get a look in the NFL, and they certainly don't go on to win a couple of Super Bowls and get named to a Pro Bowl and an All-Pro team and create an all-time NFL moment. Like, I know you're looking ahead and you're focused on the upcoming season, but when you look back on everything that's transpired and everything you've accomplished, how much pride is there for you in that journey, the journey you took?
Man, it's just amazing, man. I just kept working hard, kept praying hard, and I'm so blessed I got that opportunity to, you know, get a shot. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but now I worked so hard, even though I didn't get drafted. I wasn't even looking forward to getting drafted. I was on the side of the house, you know, working out and stuff like that. I knew I wasn't going to get drafted, but when I got the opportunity, I just told myself I ain't coming back home. I was up there for straight business, and I come still a lot, man, but I'm still hungry. I still want more. I'm just a go-getter, man, and I'm blessed to get that opportunity. But I still want more. You know, I want to finish strong.
Talking to Malcolm Butler, and you get an opportunity right off the jump, right? The team schedule was announced yesterday. You're going to open up against the Dolphins in Miami. Like, you know it's going to be hot, and you know the Dolphins have some new faces like Tyreek Hill. How much are you looking forward to that matchup?
I'm just ready to play. I know it's going to be tough or whatever, but I ain't backing down for nobody. You know, it's only one football. We know that. And, you know, they got speed or whatever. But, you know, we got a nice little group over there in New England and ourselves. So, you know, we'll see how it go down. You know, I ain't going to talk about nothing that ain't happened yet, but I'm a competitor just like everybody else.
So, Malcolm, one last thought. Like, mentally, you obviously are in a great headspace. I can tell. Like, you're rejuvenated. You're reset. You're hungry. You have things to prove. I'm looking at the way you were playing when you were last there. Like, you had 5 interceptions and 16 deflections in the regular season and the playoffs in 2020. So, you were still playing at a really high level. When did you first start thinking about coming back for this year? And what let you know that you still had that same physical ability and motivation to play at that same high level? How and when did you know that?
I was working out with a few coaches and things like that. But first of all, I worked out for 3 teams. And, you know, they wouldn't call me in just to call me in. You know, I seen, like, articles. My sister sent me articles that, you know, that I've just been working hard and stuff like this. I can tell when I'm moving quick and I can change direction, jump, catch stuff like that. But I just know it, man. It's just something you just know you can't explain. And I didn't retire and just stay on the couch like that. You know, I was working out at least 2-3 times a week and stuff like that, because if I wanted to return, I couldn't come back just off my name. You got to work whatever you want. So I still got it, baby. Trust me.
I still got it, baby. Trust me. I love it. I love it, man. That's exactly the kind of energy you're looking for. He's a corner of the Patriots, a 2-time Super Bowl champ. As I mentioned, All-Pro, a Pro Bowler, a member of the Patriots All-Decade team, and he's right back there. New England's going to open up against Miami on September 11th. Malcolm, it's good to have you back in the game. Good to have you back on the show. Appreciate that conversation. Great energy. Thanks so much for it.
All right. Thanks, man.
You have a great day. I love that. I still got it, baby. I still got it. I still want it. I'm still hungry. Stuff like that always gets me hyped. And when I get hyped, I don't take my shirt off.
I take my shirt off!
Yeah, I like that energy.
Yeah!
I'm looking for energy like that wherever I can find it. I like that energy. That's not a guy showing up, answering a few questions, going through the motions, going through the paces. He's saying, quote, I still got it, baby. I still got it. Man, I still got it. I'm still that guy, but I know I have to prove it all over again. So yes, to quote Cat himself, I like that energy.
Yeah, I like this energy.
The question then is, clones, do you have any of that energy? Do you still have it, baby? Bring it. Prove it. Oh, one thing I did not mention. How about the Toronto Maple Leafs going to a Game 7? We were talking about this for the last couple of weeks and what it means to the Maple Leafs and their fan base. Not to break that streak. Remember, they have not won a Stanley Cup since 1967. But just to get the hell out of the first round. And don't look now. Game 7. You want to talk about a grip. The team, the fans, everybody involved. And again, they're going up against a great team and organization. No shame in losing to the defending champs, the 2-time defending champs. But can you imagine if the Leafs get knocked out again in the first round? And if Game 7s in the NHL are the best Game 7s anywhere, imagine a Game 7 involving the Leafs in the year where they just had to get out of the first round. And the puck does take crazy bounces. Coming up in hour number two, I've got Mike North to break down the schedule drop and more. Stay tuned.